everyone, and welcome to another Bash Bros podcast. I'm Brad Nelson, and remember, the show can be listened on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. Please tell a friend, leave a comment, or follow us on Twitter. We love the attention. We truly do. But yes, I am not Corey Baumeister because bro is a little sick and tired of being sick and tired. The mythic grind has taken it out of him. How's it going, bro? Are you still awake?
Yeah, still awake, a little bit dozing off. But yeah, the PT plague along with this marathon grind did kind of leave a number on me. That's for sure.
Well, I'm not really, you know, sure what a PT plague is. Maybe a mythic champion measles.
There you go. Touche.
Yeah, but we do have a special guest with us today. We had to cancel on this person last week, and I felt so bad about that because we were too busy with the mythic championship. But Brian Bronduin is the guest for today. How is it going, BBD?
Oh, it's going, and I am happy to announce that since I was vaccinated as a child, I do not have measles or any other easily preventable diseases.
But do you have the mythic championship measles?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't have that. That's that mythic measles that no one's actually really ever heard of. But yeah, I'm truly honored. I was heartbroken actually last week when I found out that the podcast was canceled, as it was really all I've wanted for the last 13 to 24 minutes to be a guest on this podcast. And I was really happy that I'd be asked to come back, because I, you know, it's an honor. It's a privilege.
Well, BBD, didn't you leave the mic at the testing house on purpose last week? That's what I remember.
That it can neither be confirmed nor denied.
No, we can confirm it. We saw you holding the mic in a video.
That is true. Everyone thought that was a hairdryer, though, in that video, and it even made the joke better. Like, we can't fail at promotional videos when people are making them funnier than they actually are.
Yeah, that is true. It's like, wow, that our idea sucked in comparison to what everyone thought we did.
I just wish it was a hairdryer. That would have been so much better. But it was, fact, the mic that we left at the house.
But BBD doesn't have hair. Oh, I get it now. Okay.
Ah, yes. That is always. I've stayed with Brian at a hotel in our adventures as a pro Magic players, and after, like, you know, the first day, and Brian takes the first shower, and I'm just like, what? You know, I'd get into the shower expecting the shampoo to be in there, and it's not, and I was just like, Brian, you didn't. Oh yeah. I was like, why didn't you put this in here?
I always love when people get mad at me. They're like. They're like, oh man, I forgot my shampoo. Do you have any I can use? And I'm like, no. And they're like, it's shampoo. Just let me use your shampoo. And I'm like, look at my head. Look at my head. Look at it.
All right. Well, we can start talking about things. We have missed an entire week due to not doing a Bash Bros podcast last week. So we have a lot to catch up on this week. We're going to be talking about the last 3 weeks, honestly. We're going to kick things off with, I say we just go in chronological order and kick things off with the New York Toy Fair. Now, I know neither of you went to that, but I want to talk about that because it was awesome. Wizards had me go and work at the New York Toy Fair. I got to stream with Day 9, Gabby Spartz, and our teammate, Shahar Shenhar. I got to see a Broadway musical. Amber and I went to Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and it was spectacular. I was living my best life the week before the Mythic Championship. What did you guys do that weekend?
Yeah, speaking of Day 9, did his restraining order on you finally go through now, or?
Okay. I am a big fan of Day 9. Sean Plott, actually, he might have been the first person I was a fan of 10 years ago with the Day 9 dailies. And meeting him, I was kind of a nervous wreck. I'm not going to lie. He was really cool and suave and funny and very charming and a nice guy. And I was just one of those, like, I have had those fans come up to me. And it is weird to me, and I don't really get it, where I know what it's like to be on that side of the coin where someone comes up and it's flattering and it's fun and all that. Why can't I get it out of my head? Why couldn't I be normal around Day 9?
Yeah, like, honestly, I don't know. It all seemed fine. But then when you said that comment that his furniture looked great from the lawn, I thought that was a little over the top.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That reminds me, Brian, did we tell you about how when Corey and I checked in at the Mythic Championship, the lady checking us in was like, oh, you're a May baby? I'm also a May baby. I'm like May 16th. And she's like, how did you know? And yeah, she just, she went white. Like, she was so just shocked that I would know that.
That was pretty
It was great. I mean, it was just a blind guess, right? Like, I had a 3% chance because I knew it wasn't the 21st, which is mine. Or a little bit more than 3%. But still, just call-shotting it like that, I just scared her.
So your birthday is May 21st. Hey, Brad, what's the last four digits of your social security card?
So I got to go to, before the Mythic Championship, I got to go to New York for the first time. I got to see Broadway for the first time. And it was spectacular. And if anyone ever is on the fence about going to Broadway, it is spectacular. I didn't believe that it took me this long to actually go to a show like that. Like, the price tag is high, but the production value was unbelievable. It was just an experience of a lifetime.
How much was it? I'm generally curious.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
it was low four digits for two tickets for two nights.
Wow.
So yeah. that sounds like a pretty good experience, but was it really the experience of a lifetime when you compare it to what I did that weekend?
What did you do that weekend, Brian?
I drove 6 hours and paid $40 in tolls to go to Cleveland, Ohio.
You paid $40 in tolls? My flight to New York, back to Cleveland, back to New York, and back home to Roanoke was like $300.
Yeah, that was one way on that toll payment, by the way. So.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I paid the biggest toll of all, though, BBD.
The troll toll?
No, unfortunately, I went to Magic Fest Memphis, started off 8-0, and then 0-3'd from there. That was the greatest toll of all.
Yeah, the grinder
sounds
toll.
Sounds like the troll toll, to be completely honest.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got trolled on your pairings with playing against the worst matchup three times in a row. But we did learn about that matchup, and that actually kind of pushes us into our Mythic Champion testing in Cleveland, because that Sunday night I showed up, Brian was already there, Corey got there that night as well, and we started buckling down to get serious in preparations for the 2019 Mythic Championship 1. Oh, I forgot the hashtag. I'll get it.
2019 MC1. Come on, Brad.
2019 please. MC1. And
it rolls off the tongue so well. How could you forget?
Well, you forgot the hashtag at the beginning, BBD.
Yes. Yeah, and you forgot to also add the hashtag MTG so it boosts it. And, you know, we'll get there. Well, you'll figure it out. I know you like long grinds with heinous productions. but
That's a good word choice. I like that word.
Good foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get to the house, and there's already there's something in the air brewing, and it might have to, it doesn't have anything to do with Brian's anus. It's actually just it seemed like Mono Blue Aggro was doing very well. In fact, I think Huey already, William Jensen already believed that was the deck that he was going to play. And it's really tough to see someone like Huey, who's playing a ton of Magic, be so confident about a deck and not kind of want to gravitate towards it, or at least know what's going on. And I had like a deck I wrote about in my article this week, like a Bant Flash deck that I really like, but I kind of abandoned it without even continuing to test it. I tried to make Soul Tie work, but it wasn't winning enough against Mono Blue, and I eventually just moved over to Mono Blue and just kept working on that deck because it was really good. I don't know what your guys' experience was like in the testing house. I guess we should paint the picture, right, before we get into it. This house had most of the members of Team Ultimate Guard, all the members of Team KMC Genesis, and then Tom the Boss Ross and Yelger. Hall of Fame member. I'm not even going to try to say his last name. I hope he doesn't even listen to the podcast because I don't want to sound stupid. Anyone want to attempt it?
I think it's Wiegersma. That's my best guess, Wiegersma? But I know that's wrong.
It's so tough to pronounce. But the house had a lot of people, a lot of talent, a lot of people grinding out matches, and a lot of them were going 5-5 or 4-6 or 6-4. But Mono Blue was continuously doing well above that middle ground of a lot of decks that were lurking. And we weren't even testing it against its best matchups like Nexus and Esper. We already were like concluded those were good matchups. And so it was pretty interesting to see me go sit down and be like, I'm going to play one of these decks. And then within 24 hours, be all in on Mono Blue.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Mono Blue was just the best deck for quite a long time, which doesn't maybe speak well to the fact that I didn't play it myself, but I did believe that it was the best deck. It was putting up the best results in our testing. I was losing to it with decks that were supposed to beat it, and that was also being mirrored by other people who were beating those decks. So, for example, I tested a lot of White Weenie, and I kept losing to Mono Blue with White Aggro, which was supposed to be which was believed to be a lopsided matchup. But from my testing and also from the testing of other players in the group, we kind of determined that it actually was pretty close to 50-50, or maybe even Mono Blue slightly favored, which is kind of how my experiences were going as well. So even the deck that I eventually played, Is It Drake's, which has legitimately does have a favorable matchup against Mono Blue, wasn't beating it by that much.
Yeah, I sat down and played a couple sessions with you, and I got more the more I played bad matchups, the more confidence I got with Mono Blue, because when I believed that our set might go, you know, 7-3, and it doesn't really matter what it goes, but when it's like a 6-4 and it feels close, or 4-6 in Drake's favor, and it felt close, like the games that you were winning seemed convincing. Like, I figured out how you lose the games you lose and how you can win the games, and it felt like that's going to happen enough of the time to get those you know, quote-unquote free wins when you play against Civic Nexus or Esper Control.
Yeah, and in my opinion, once we came to the conclusion that Essence Capture should be a 4-of in the deck instead of a 2-of, I think the win percentage against Drake's, like, actually, I was winning more than I'm losing, and even throughout the streams in the last few days I've been playing, I have a actually dominant win percentage against that deck, and I think that card alone makes such a big difference in that matchup.
Well, there's one Drake that can't be countered, and that card is still a pain for Mono Blue, which is Niv-Mizzet Perun.
Nah, we have Harry Potter's wand for that.
That is true.
So it's not a Drake either; it's a dragon.
Oh, is that a segue? I know it's a dragon. Is that a segue back to wanting to hear more about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child? Because we can talk about that. I can talk about that all
I actually want to know how days 1 through 8 went before you got invested into day 9.
Oh! So one of the best moments, well, not best, it was probably the worst, but it was absurd in the house, so we had this house that was a duplex, and half the people slept on the main floor and half the people slept on the top floor. And in the mornings, I was on the bottom floor. So, like, Reed Duke and Yelger would be up, and they'd be, like, doing a moto draft, waiting for everyone to wake up on the top floor. And Yelger went for a run one morning. When he came back, he just had a huge cut on his eye from, like, slipping on ice and just hitting his head smack on the cement. And I was like, Yelger, like, that looks bad. Like, you should go and get it stitches. He's like, nah, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm like, no, it looks like it's going to leave a pretty bad scar. He's like, nah, don't worry about it. And I'm like, well, if you're not going to go get stitches, can you at least go upstairs and just say, Brad's got to go? Like, that's all you got to say. You just got to walk up there and just be like, Brad's just got to leave. And I just wanted to, you know the reaction of everyone just being like, did Brad actually punch him? But he didn't do that either.
Yeah,
he just
Yelger, you know, did have a lot of different stories that he was excited to tell people, different made-up fabrications of what actually happened.
Yeah, it was absurd. But yeah, it was just, I've never seen someone so cool just be like, yeah, I'm not going to worry about this. It's not bleeding anymore, and the swelling's not that bad, so we're not going to go get stitches. Yeah. I would 100% have went and got it, but you know the American healthcare system.
He was very chill
about it. No, I don't
know,
Brad. Please explain.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Voldemort took away healthcare.
This is where the transmogrifying wand comes in. I'm very confused about the storyline here.
Well, the transmogrifying wand chose Corey Baumeister. That's true. That was the chosen one.
That's true.
But yeah, so going back to Mono Blue, which is the deck that 8 people on the team played, one of the things that resonated with me the most and why I was really happy with choosing the deck was a rant that Owen Turtenwald had in the house, which was that you shouldn't play a deck that isn't monocolored in this format. There's just 3 cards that are all absurdly powerful: Tempest Djinn, Banalish Marshall, and Goblin Chain Whirler. And monocolored decks were performing pretty well for a while. I think that Mono Red and Mono White have both kind of like went to like potentially tier 2 strategies, but Mono Blue was doing so well that it just seemed absurd to add more variants to your deck by adding dual lands and other colors, and you can get color screwed. And I even won a match at the tournament against Is It Phoenix, which is a bad matchup, just because my opponent didn't draw the right lands. And so, like, one of the things to keep in mind for people listening at home is that if a monocolor deck like Mono Blue Aggro is not being hated out of the format and still can be competitive, and in fact maybe is the best deck to choose, it's maybe the only deck to choose, because the deck was so consistent. It did well in the tournament. It won the tournament, right? It put 3 in the top 8, and it was just an absurdly good choice, even though I think a lot of people justified not playing it for some reason. It did not have the numbers it should have had. That was reflected in the metagame breakdown.
Yeah, I was very confused about that, because our testing made it very clear that Mono Blue is by far the best deck, and I expected Mono Blue to be the second most played deck. I thought Sultai would be the most played deck just because people love that kind of garbage strategy. But I thought that Mono Blue would be the second most played deck, and I was really surprised at how few people played it, just because it was so dominant in testing. That, like, and it's a known entity too. It's not like we were doing anything crazy with our deck. You know, we put like a couple extra essence captures in there, which was, you know, maybe helped improve some matchups. But all things told, you know, the list that we played was very similar to the list that Autumn Burchett won with. So it's not like we reinvented the wheel. Everyone had the opportunity to test this deck and see how good it was themselves. So I was a little surprised at how few people played it.
Yeah, the one main difference that we had between Autumn's deck list and ours was we had the very signature Owen Turtenwald flavor of whatever deck you're playing, add a land. That's Owen's advice that goes over any format, and he's always right.
I mean, I do that too. Like, I'll take a deck from week one and just cut the cool card and just add a land and then start testing it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The first time I saw Bam Flash, I was like, Angel of Grace seems cool. I'm going to cut two of them for two lands and then start playing this deck.
I actually was, when I, my first period of time actually being successful, like, publicly as a Magic player was when Innistrad came out, and I started playing Magic online and was doing well with in Block Constructed, and my main claim to fame was that I played two extra lands than everyone else did in the deck. I played 28 lands in a mid-range deck, just because you had to hit your land drops.
And it was a four color utility land deck, right? Like, it had four colors and it had utility lands.
It was three colors at the time.
Oh, so was that before they banned Lingering Souls and then printed Bonfire?
It was, in fact, before they banned the card Lingering Souls and then printed Bonfire of the Damned. You are correct.
Damn. So you've been making decks heinous for years, huh, BBD?
I have been. Yeah, I've been doing some bad stuff for a long time. Somebody please do something about it.
All right. So now we've tested the last thing. When we submitted decks, I found something very interesting. So how big is our testing team? It was 12, 15, 14 people, 14 people. So 8 people played Mono Blue, but the other 6 all played a different deck, not together. 6 different strategies, 6 different archetypes. We had Brian on, Is It Drake's? Tom played, Jody Keith's exact black red midrange deck, like his physical copy, his GP winning list, what else? Logan played Sultai. Kunio played Red Splash Green. Paul Reitzel played. Yeah, Seth played his Dimir deck. Paul Reitzel played Azorius Aggro. And what that spoke to me is, I don't even know if, like, we could say that there's a flaw in our testing, because we played a ton of standard and people just didn't want to play Mono Blue, played the deck that they felt comfortable with. It's just that this format does actually have an absurd amount of strategies in it. Like, just, like, there's, like, if you're counting every archetype and variation on them, there's, like, 18 to 20 decks out there.
Yeah, coming from a person who has a standard-only column, this standard format is pretty much Christmas morning every single Tuesday.
Oh, I bet. There's so much to do. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you. Like, I've written, like, lists. It's like, here's the top 10 decks in the format and how I rank them, because there's so much information out there that, like, you have to sift through it. I mean, I'm really happy with it. Like, bravo to Play Design. Ever since it felt like a lot of these people came and they created Play Design as a group, Standard has felt really cool and really refreshing. And there's like a lot of degenerate magic cards out there in this format, right? Like there's Wilderness Archimation, Nexus of Fate, Niv-Mizzet, Carnage Tyrant. There's just like, what's it? Hydroid Crisis. There's a lot of like cards that are like, I'm going to do my thing and it's really tough for you to stop it. Yet they're not dominating, and it's not just the formats maybe are saturated with those effects, but they're not taking over the format.
Yeah, I actually want to go on a mini rant here for a second. This is something I've said like 10 times before on Twitter and in my articles, but the best formats are the ones where like people have this misconception that powerful cards ruin formats, but the actual issue with formats is not that powerful cards are ruining them, it's that all the power is concentrated in one area. So when you actually have a powerful format, but when the power is diversified through a variety of different decks, that's when you actually, and the mana is good enough to let you play those decks, that's when you actually have great formats. So this is, and multicolored sets are generally great for that because there's really powerful multicolored cards. So I think bringing it back to Ravnica and letting us play with powerful multicolored cards across a variety of different colors is what is allowing Standard to be both powerful but also still diverse and fun.
Yeah, and I wanted to make a quick comment. So I want a question for you guys. Is it true that, like, you know, Wizards designed sets, like, what, like a year and a couple months in advance, right?
I don't know the exact timeline, but it is.
It's about that, though, right?
It's between like a year and a half. Yeah, a year and 2 years, somewhere in that.
Interesting. We had a teammate leave Genesis about a year and a half ago, huh? I think we might be starting to see the beautiful touches of Michael Majors coming into Standard. You know how much he was brewing when it came to just our test house. Now he gets to brew with cards that don't exist. That just seems like his, you know, Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that Majors is very good at that, but I also think that they've just designed a really good team. Everyone that works in play design is awesome. I'm huge fans of all of them, like on a personal and professional level. Even like, I mean, just for years, right? Like, there's been so many people that I've seen, like SCG Grinder, Adam Prozac now does it, right? Like, is in part of play design. It's been there forever. Yeah, like there's so many awesome people that are on this team. And it's finally something that they've pretty much concentrated. They're like, this is your job. Your job is to make Magic great. And you don't have to worry about other things that might be part of corporate America. And now I'm not saying that I know the inner workings of Wizards. I don't. But I do know that, like, that's their job. Like, Michael Majors, like, you know, 10 to 5 or whatever, 9 to 5, is to just make Magic good. And right now, I think they're being successful.
Yeah, they're doing good.
Yeah. Well, Corey, let me ask you a question then.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a move that can make a man crap his pants?
What?
I don't know. If there is a move, it would have been performed on you a few times, right?
Oh, can we get into those stories?
Oh, please. For the love of all that is heinous and or holy, all right.
We are just 100% starting a Patreon. So one of our stretch goals could be to bring Brian back on as a special guest and tell us all his great embarrassing stories. I have so many of them, and they're all so good.
I got a few.
They're pretty bad, actually. But
I'm a big fan of Detective Heinous Anus.
Oh no! Let's. This is getting too dark, even for me.
All right. So let's get to the Mythic Championship. We got a lot more to talk about today, but let's get to the tournament. The first thing that happened is I have a train wreck draft. It's abysmal. Everyone I talked to that is great told me that I took the first, you know, four picks correctly, and maybe I could have salvaged someone else could have salvaged something that I didn't. But it felt like my seat was really bad, and I 0-3'd my draft. Now, that's not, you know, that's the second time I've 0-3'd a draft on the Pro Tour / Mythic Championships. But what's shocking this time is after three rounds of limited play, I had more losses than the entire team of Ultimate Guard. The entire team, all six of them.
That's insane.
Yeah,
they went 16-2.
They went 30-6 over the 2 days of limited. 30-6. Oh, that is obscene.
They had a rough day too, huh?
Yeah,
they did. They lost four matches in day two. Those plebeians.
Wow. They went 5-1 in a round and lowered their win percentage. It took 5 rounds of limited for them to have more losses than me.
If we got a 5-1 in Team Genesis and limited, we would double our percentages over the course of the entirety of Team Genesis.
Well, when we have a 5-1 on Ultimate Genesis, it's Seth top 8ing the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Seth going 3-0.
Yeah. But like, I bring this up because like, I love the team that we're working with, but working with Ultimate Genesis is such a double-edged sword to me because, for one, it's all these amazing minds that it's even hard for me to like trust my own judgment because like it's really hard to go against the grain when you have these like just all of these also great Magic players. But at the same time, once you get to the tournament, you're just like, I thought I was good. Like, I have spent many years thinking that I am a good player, and these people are absurd. Like, when you get that close to a group like this, it makes sense why like they won the team series last year, and they might have been upset the first year. And I'm not even saying this because I'm like connected with them and we're testing with them. It's like I'm just seeing like William Jensen and Owen and Huey, or sorry, Reed. Yeah.
I think you forgot Billy Jensen as well.
Yes, and Billy Jensen. I forgot Billy Jensen and John Finkel.
Don't forget Papa Huey.
And Papa Huey, yeah. All of these people, it's like seeing them work, it's really impressive to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you're great too, Brian.
Thank you. That means a lot, Brad, but I know my place. Yeah.
I'll just be awaiting my compliment whenever.
Yeah, you're fine too, Corey.
All right.
So anyway, what were we talking about? I basically, seeing Reed top 8, again, after just never, like, just an absurd streak of great Pro Tours and LSV getting 5 of 8. I'm just sitting here thinking, like, what the actual F? Like, seriously, what the F?
No, you can say it. For this accomplishment, you can use it. Let's say we're PG-13, we get 1 of them, and you can use it.
All right, here it is then. What the actual
fudge?
Like, seriously, wow. How? How are these people so good? Like, I wish I could be that good, but it's kind of, it feels almost unattainable for me. And I'm somebody who won the world championship and who's in the pro league. Like,
yeah.
I'm one of the best players in the world based on results. And I feel like I can never achieve what these people are doing. It's kind of unbelievable. And I'm not even like jealous. I'm just impressed.
That
is so good.
Did you guys hear the beautiful stat from the weekend?
No.
That what's LSV himself is in 4th in the team series?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's absurd.
If he was his only team member, he is crushing all of Team KMC Genesis.
Yeah, we're worse than 4th. Our entire 6-player team has done worse than LSV by himself. That is embarrassing.
To be fair, he did take 2nd and 8th. Wait, no, 2nd and 4th, right?
2nd and 4th.
Yeah, 2nd and 4th.
Yikes.
Yeah, it is phenomenal.
I barely had six wins when you add his two numbers together.
I got to say, though, I am a little disappointed in LSV. I mean, he really botched it this time around. Only finishing in the semifinals is pretty bad. Like,
yeah, you like to be improving on your pro tours, and he's just really going in the wrong direction.
And he can't even lean on a multi-4 to complain about, right?
I know. Like, he's really digressing over time, and it's sad to watch somebody of this caliber just get worse and worse.
Exactly. It might be old age, maybe. Like, maybe it's time to put the cards down.
It's an exponential decay here. It's
it's getting embarrassing. Yeah, like, it's time to just let it go.
I'm sorry, I have to bring this up because it's great. About like 4 years ago, there was a point in time where some like random MTGO grinder started attacking LSV on Twitter, basically just saying like, you're a has-been, you're no longer good at Magic, like all this other shenanigans, because I think LSV like said something that he disagreed with or whatever. And that just became like a meme, kind of like a meme for a short period of time. And I just want to say that that did not age well.
Yeah. Not at all.
That aged very poorly.
Well, yeah. Come on. I really didn't think that he had a career left. I thought he was washed up and he was disagreeing with me. Like, what can I say?
Yeah.
I have to defend myself.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, so we didn't have a stellar performance at the tournament. All 3 of us did medium. I think we had 2 8-8s and a 9-7. Is that right?
That is correct. We finished the bashing brothers and special guests finished 1 win over 50-50, which I got to say that's better than finishing exactly 50-50.
Yeah. And I will say from personal experience, like my first draft was bad. I 2-1 my second draft and I had three really, really good matches in limited. But in constructed, I lost 8 of my 10 die rolls and I mulliganed like 15 times and I just beat them badly with mono blue. And I'm not saying that I got unlucky because surely in those games, things went right and I played well. But I was super impressed with this deck. Like if there's a tournament where
that
I
sounds
start
exactly 0-3, like you're saying that they got lucky.
Well, no, like there's tournaments before where I'd start like 1-2 unlimited and I'm losing die rolls and I'm mulliganing and I'm out of the tournament, right? I don't make day 2.
That's fair.
I've had those where I'm just out. But with this deck, I was able to fight with it. I was able to like win a lot of these game ones or come back and win these matches when I didn't mulligan or be on the draw. And the deck was just all around super impressive for me.
It was very good for me as well.
And Autumn ended up winning the tournament, which was just a really cool moment. And you know, like for all the jokes about Pro Tours turning to Mythic Championships, the one thing that I thought was like, this tournament actually did feel Mythic.
It did.
Like with BDM leaving and everyone just like, you know, talking about Brian and like Brian is a huge part of my career. Like I thought about it. Sitting at home or sitting in the night that he announced it, I was.
You can just
bed,
tell Brian just right now that how much he means to you. You don't have to, you know.
Yes, I'm right here,
right,
man.
There.
No, but like Brian was there for my first Grand Prix. I interacted with him. He was there for my first Pro Tour.
I wasn't.
Yeah. BDM was. He was there for my first Nationals. He was there for my first Top 8. Like. Brian David Marshall is kind of like my magic dad. He was there for every moment. He was encouraging. The thing that I love about Brian and that I'm going to miss the most is everyone in coverage is great. I'm not going to say they're not. But the thing that separated Brian from the pack, not you, Brian David Marshall, is that it felt like he truly cared about the players first and then the job.
Yeah, 100%. Like, honestly, I want to share a quick little thing about BDM as well, like exactly what you're saying. My first Pro Tour in 2008 when I was 17 going on 18, like you had to be there with me to sign a waiver or whatever, and you were there in the entryway, and I know you'd talked to BDM before, but I've just seen him on coverage, you know, for years, and he's been someone I'd looked up to, and I was just like having that fanboy moment where I'm like, I don't really want to go over and talk, I'm embarrassed, you know, like looking over from the room from the distance until I finally mustered up the courage to go say hello. And then when I finally got up there, he's just like the most open, nice person ever. And like within talking to him for like 2 minutes, felt like I, you know, knew him forever.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. I'm going to miss him a lot, actually.
Me too.
Like my eyes are watered a little bit. I don't want to do much, but he's just awesome. And we're going to miss you at BDM.
Going to miss
much
you,
love I believe most of the pro community. But the other reason why this tournament was Mythic was because Autumn took it down. A deck that they've been playing a ton, doing well at like Nationals, like even branding with like all the single islands, like just the horrible mana base of mismatched islands. And I don't know if you watched the top 8. I actually flew home that morning, so I didn't get to see the quarterfinals and I haven't rewatched it, but I was like really impressed with their play. Like, I'm not just saying that, like, the last game 4 against Esper, I don't know if I take any of the same lines. And that was, like, a truly, like, surreal moment for me, where I'm like, you know, I'm Brad Nelson, Standard Master. I went 7-3 and felt like I got unlucky in a lot of positions. And I might have lost that game.
Yeah, I
and
wanna
I wasn't
say that...
under the pressure, right?
Yeah. I think that the entire top 8 was masterfully played, actually, by pretty much everyone involved. Ikawa also impressed me significantly with how he piloted that Esper deck, too, in that mm-hmm. finals match. That match was so well played from both sides. It was unbelievable. Like, my favorite moment was when Ikawa has a Thief of Sanity and a Lyra in hand, and he knows that Autumn has Disdainful Stroke and Essence Capture. And he decides to play the Lyra, and all the commentators were saying how wrong it was. because Lyra's the better card than Thief of Sanity for sure in the matchup. But it's actually just the correct play. It's the best leveling play, because if Autumn then uses Essence Capture to counter Lyra, which is the more likely card you would want to use to counter the Lyra, then Akawa can resolve Thief of Sanity the next turn and maybe win that way. But then Autumn used the Disdainful Stroke to counter the Lyra, keeping the Essence Scatter for Thief of Sanity as well. Like, they basically both players knew, like, kind of what the other person was trying to do, and it was just this extremely high level back and forth where they both made this awesome play that even the commentators were just unable to see the line, and they both made the perfect play. And to me, that was like just a phenomenal viewing moment for Magic, where there are two players playing in the finals of the very first Mythic Championship, with all the gravitas behind it, like all the things you all said about Brian David Marshall. I know I didn't say anything, but I love BDM as well. I have for many years. He's somebody who has always, when I first got into pro Magic, he was somebody who was interested in my story, which meant so much to me when I first got into the PT. But yeah, just the entire gravitas of the tournament, and then also just the unbelievable play and sportsmanship in the top eight. It was actually my favorite top eight that I've ever watched, and I think it might have been my favorite event where I did poorly, and yet I can be like, I can see like how awesome of the tournament was too.
Yeah.
I'm not wording that very well, but
no, I know exactly what you mean. I will say, I know why the commentators missed that great, leveling lines, because both Reed, Duke, and LSV were in the top eight. So we didn't have any pro commentators. Every Mythic Championship Pro Tour, they have, you know, LSV commentate, and if LSV's in top eight, Reed Duke commentate. But this time they were both there.
I know, it's kind of absurd. It's
just another thing that makes that top eight just so absurd.
100%.
I was also just really happy to see, like, Majlaton. Like, I talked about this in an article that I wrote, but I was so happy to see, like, Majlaton make top eight. Michael Bonde, like, these are people who've been playing for a long time who haven't really ever gotten the big finishes that they're looking for. But they're generally like fun people to be around, who keep a good mindset, and they have a good attitude towards the game. And it's just awesome to see them finally get rewarded, especially like, you know, something as awesome as the very first Mythic Championship.
Agreed. And Bondi said that he got rewarded by initially looking at a certain dropping bombs regarding Simic Nexus. So no Ooh. Big deal. I spouted that for weeks, and then I was just too stupid to make it better, and Bundy's like, hold my beer.
Yeah, no, it was a really cool top eight, but...
It was, and like, yeah, honestly, BDM's like commentating like was so moving and stuff like that. So BDM, if you're listening out there, we're always looking for another Brian. Ours is getting a little stale, so...
Yeah, you guys got a really bad version of the Brian.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry for you.
You're our silver medal, buddy.
It's more like a bronze medal.
Yeah, Brian DeMars is pretty gas.
BDM, it would be awesome to have you on. But so, moving on, we all got back home, right? Like, we took our week and a half off for traveling, for testing. We didn't have the best Mythic Championship, but life goes on. And for Corey, your week
life
has been a...
Life didn't go on.
Yeah, the last 4 days of your life has been... well, how has the last 4 days of your life been?
Well, have you guys seen that scene with Keanu Reeves where he finally gets unplugged from the Matrix? That just happened to me like 25 minutes ago. So
it was. Well, you're just like naked in a vat covered in ooze? Like, explain yourself.
Yeah, my streaming community was very concerned, but yeah, you know, I made it work.
Yeah. So for those of you in the dark, Brian and I are both members of the Magic Pro League, which auto qualifies us for the Mythic Invitational at the end of March in Boston. But there's eight slots for this tournament that were given away today, actually. Well, yesterday, which were the top eight finishers of the ranking, or whatever it's called. What's it called? The ranking ladder?
Mythic ladder climb. Yeah.
The Mythic ladder climb, whatever you want to call it. Mythic Adantas climb. I don't care. It's just, whoever gets in that top eight, and it's very chaotic. It's an absurd system. They've already announced that for other grinds for the Arena Mythic Championships, that it's going to be 1,000 people. They get locked in. They get to play Swiss Tournament, boil it down to some number. I don't even remember what the number
16.
Is. 16. But yeah, so that's less chaotic. This one was absurd. I even did the grind with Corey. Like, I tried to. Like, I streamed some with it, and I played some. And it felt abysmal to me. Like, it was, I don't think there's a possible chance for me to get there with the way that I executed, and maybe there's a different way I could have executed. I felt like my win percentage was pretty decent. I even got up to, like, 15th at one time. But it was absurd.
Yeah.
And... Yep. But I'm already qualified. Corey wasn't. And so Corey took this leap. And tell us how the last 4 days, everything. I want to know everything about the last 4 days, because a lot of people, I mean, Twitter blew up yesterday about this. There was a lot of opinions out there. We're not going to get into them because I try to stay away from that.
Yeah.
I generally get involved in it, and I generally regret it immensely. But this time I stayed out.
This time I dove right in. To the tournament itself. And honestly, it was just absolutely chaos. Like, it was just, it was the biggest swings you can imagine. I mean, I went from, like, you know, I'm in the top 100, like, with 2 days to go, I'm feeling good, I'm playing well. All of a sudden, like, 6 matches later, you know, 3 hours later, I'm just trying to loosely tweak a Celestia token deck by taking out March of the Multitudes. And I end up being at like 700, and then going to sleep thinking I'm completely dead. All of a sudden going on a 19-1 run, and then I'm in 30th place. Like, it was a roller coaster ride. And honestly, I think I made one really big misplay when it came to the tournament. I slept for a total of 7 hours in 3 days. I really should have cut that down to like 4 hours, and I think I would have got there. So it was really a misplay on my part.
I think you're going to say the misplay was trying in the first place.
Yeah, but no, yeah. Honestly, I mean, on a real note, sure, the grind and the system was not perfect. They already announced that there's going to be a new system, which sounds infinitely better, but I had the opportunity to win $250,000 by sitting at my computer, streaming with my friends, and, you know, maybe getting all the way to that glory, you know? So it was still a great opportunity. Of course, it was executed maybe in a poorer way, but it was the first one. It was an experiment.
Yeah, I have to say that one of the things that I've really I've been proud of you for with all of this in the last 3 months, honestly, is just your optimism and your excitement and the way that you're just like handling yourself. Like, you were close to being in the Magic Pro League, but you're not. You're not qualified for the Invitational. You streamed it. You had fun. A lot of people got to be a part of that for the last 3 days. Now you cut it short, just like I did, because the sniping, the ghosting was real.
Yeah.
And now a lot of people are like, people are ghosting me. And the internet's like, you're paranoid. I know that they were ghosting. Actually, my chat was pretty sure that somebody that was high in the ranks was watching the stream to try to queue against me with a hate deck. You know, like,
yeah.
And it was like a main deck Cindervines red deck.
Yeah.
And but like, that's not the point of I'm trying to get across. You just had this awesome attitude about all of this. You've like, we started the podcast together. And we have a decent special guest. We might be able to improve on it, but who knows, but we're doing it and we're having fun. Right. And you've been streaming a ton. You've had fun. You brought people in with your grind. Now, no one else. I mean, a few people are doing that, but like you were taking it seriously. You have a very high win percentage in Constructed. You've been testing Standard a ton, and you still allowed people to come and be a part of that instead of keeping it to yourself. So like, after seeing a lot of stuff, and I don't want to get into this too much, but like, Twitter and social media has been really bringing me down with a lot of this stuff, because I don't even know what I'm supposed to say or do anymore. I feel like I'm now, you know, whatever. I don't know.
No, honestly, Brad, I agree with you. Something has to be said. I mean, BBD, your puns are getting out of hand, man. It's just seriously becoming too much, man. The internet's just, it's crazy these days with you.
Well, thankfully you have Shaheen Sarani to shame me every time I make a pun. So he's keeping the fight alive.
Okay, good, good.
He's keeping the good
faith. Not all heroes wear capes.
Well, he does, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, he always wears a cape to every tournament.
I mean, it was pretty killer to see you at the top of the Twitch this whole week. At the end of the night, at your 3 or 4 a.m. grind, you were just like one of the most watched people. And that's a huge change from last month. Yeah.
Yeah, he's played a lot of people. They got to get those people in that stream.
I played 1,200 people throughout the day. All of them just stayed after they ghosted me. So,
No, I mean, it was cool. Like, I mean, I wish that you got there to the Mythic Invitation. I would have loved to go to Boston with you. That would have just been gas. That would have just been awesome. I would have loved it. But I've just been very proud with your demeanor with all of this and your work ethic. And I think that is just very important to continue to have, because that's one thing that like Brian and I have also been, you know, we upped our game too. We're like the 2019 Magic World, I've just been working harder. Corey's been working harder. BBD's been working harder. I mean, that's a trend. I understand that like there are people that are frustrated right now, but it doesn't matter if you're not trying your hardest, right? Like if you're not working hard, it doesn't matter what the system is, and it's going to reward those who work hard. And I feel like you're doing a great job with it, Corey. And I'm motivated just to see you, you know, grinding it out, streaming. I mean, it was so cool. Like when you started streaming, you know, you had like 50 people watching, and now like you said this week, you got like 50 subs, and there's like, you know, you had like more people watching you than me in the last couple days. And it was just really cool. Well, I loved it. I felt inspired by it, honestly.
Yeah, no, I mean, the subs and stuff was awesome. But, you know, I mean, people already kind of knew that I was a little better at standard anyway. So it's just finally time that they've caught up to the stream. So,
well, I did like that you were working on this ladder grind, and I was there supporting you and inspired by you.
Yeah.
And just in a small corner of Twitch, there's Brian Bronduin with his heinous anus playing hour-long games of Magic, right? Like there's this, everyone on social media is like going like the sky is falling, and we're trying to get Corey qualified for the Mythic Invitational, and there's just BBD trying to play the longest games of Magic in human history over on his stream, having a ball.
Yeah, I got to talk about this. It's kind of unrelated to the entire podcast, but I just have to talk about this game that I played last night on my stream, because it was, I'm calling it the most heinous game of all time. So for people who are unaware, I've been playing an Esper control deck for best of one play, where the only win condition is to use Mastermind's Acquisition to get cards out of your sideboard. And generally the way that you win is you get the card Clear the Mind out of your sideboard and you use it to shuffle your deck back in so that your opponent mills out before you do. So I'm playing this heinously bad deck. It takes forever to win with this deck, but I'm playing against specifically against blue-white control.
I have a question real quick.
Yeah?
You stream 5 hours in a night and you play this deck only. How many games do you actually get in?
Like 3-4.
Honestly?
3-4 games. No, I'm just kidding. I play like tons of games. Some of the games are over really quickly.
Okay.
People concede to Kaya's Wrath on turn 4 quite often when they see the writing on the wall.
Sure,
but,
okay.
So I'm playing against Blue-White Control, and my first two Mastermind's Acquisitions get exiled. So I only have one left in my deck. I use the remaining acquisition to get Clear the Mind, to shuffle it back in. Eventually I draw it again, and then I use it to get my second Clear the Mind, to shuffle both the Clear the Mind and the acquisition back in.
We are going off.
Oh yeah, we're going off now. Then I draw the acquisition again, get Unmoored Ego to take my opponent's remaining counter spells. Then I draw it again, get Teferi, I ultimate Teferi, and exile all my opponent's permanents. Then I get the acquisition again to get Lyra Dawnbringer, the only creature in my sideboard, so that I can attack my opponent for lethal.
You cut the Nezahal?
I did cut the Nezahal. And then, as I'm attacking my opponent for lethal when they have no permanents to my Teferi emblem, I realize that they're going to mill out before I kill them with Lyra. So then I Clear the Mind targeting them to shuffle their graveyard back into their library so that Lyra kills them before they naturally deck.
Good Lord.
Are you kidding me?
It was one of the most heinously awesome games of all time.
All I picture from the other side is your opponent like just getting off work and they're like, okay, now is the time. I'm going to run through best of ones. I'm going to try to get this mythic top eight. I'm just going to really try. 1 hour later, uninstalls Arena.
Yeah, my opponent was ranked 7 at the time. Was that bad? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We were like ranked like 600 or something. So.
Yeah, that I do love that deck. I don't know if I have the patience to play it in a casual environment like streaming, especially because like the games take so long and you are already a master of it that I feel like I'm doing my viewers a disservice by doing your thing on my stream, even though I want to learn the deck a little bit.
Yeah.
I've even said while I was streaming, I was just like played a game with it. I'm like, I'm not going to keep doing that. But if you want to keep watching this deck, go over and watch BBD. I'm done. Like, I'll do something else. You go watch him.
Yeah, Brad, you barely have the patience for like an individual sentence. I cannot see you playing this deck whatsoever.
I don't know what you're...
And a shiny
red ball.
I will say
that, Brad, when we were battling each other that one time, we both did queue up with this deck, and I won because you conceded because you just were not willing to go through the motions of what it took.
Yeah, and I unmoored egoed incorrectly, and I was tilted.
Yes, you did.
Sounds right.
No, that was fun. We need to do another a stream battle night.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do a Bash Bros podcast battle where, you know, like a little what do they call it?
Round robin,
and then into a single top two.
Can you have Arena up two versions of Arena up at the same time?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we can have Arena and Magic online. And we will do our own duo standard where Brian has to play standard at the same time against both of us.
Yeah, and he
that's the true duo standard.
And he has a clock timer on both of them. So our only way to win is for him to time out.
Yes.
instead of us playing a round robin, have you guys considered us just going to red robin?
That sounds better, actually.
It sounds way better.
Well,
you know, ever since you moved away and became a non-local friend, Brian, my Ruby Tuesday intake has declined significantly.
Mine too. Yeah, my Ruby Tuesday intake is greatly approaching 0%.
Same.
Which is probably good for my enjoyment of the food that I consume, but it's bad for my personal health. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, is there anything else that we need to catch up on? I mean, we talked about Harry Potter. We got through how William Jensen. Oh, I forgot to tell one story about William Jensen, if I can. So after round 3 of the Pro Tour or the Mythic Championship, I was sitting with John Finkel, Reed Duke, and Andrew Cuneo, no big deal.
Sick brags.
And, yeah, and eating lunch. And they were talking about picking decks, like selecting decks for tournaments. And they brought up like one of the worst decks that they chose before, and it was the Seasons Pass Black Green deck that John Finkel top aided a Grand Pro Tour in like Madrid, I think. And this deck was pretty bad. He did well, but everyone else did bad. It's kind of like the LSV effect, but with John Finkel. It's kind of like LSV and John Finkel are really good at Magic. But so they were talking, I was like, well, I assume that was John Finkel's, baby and got everyone to play it. And he's like, no, it was actually just William. William was going around and they played a bunch against Bant Company and everyone's losing to it in testing. They're like, we can't play with this deck. And Jensen comes in the room. It's like, oh, I'm beating it badly. I keep winning. I'm beating everyone badly with this. And so they're all like, well, we'll play it. And I looked around at them. I'm like, you know, that happened this time around, right? Like, we were all, like, trying to learn how to play Mono Blue, and Jensen's like, oh, yeah, I 13-7'd white. I went 16-4 against Soul Tie. You know, and we're all like, all right, well, we'll play it. So before we got to construct it, I was a little nervous of, like, is this the season's past? Nothing? Crickets.
Well, first I was waiting for Corey to say something, and then I realized that none of us were saying anything, and then I just had to keep it going.
Well, I guess that story was so bad. We can edit that out. Yeah. Jonathan, edit that story out. It must have been bad.
I actually just fell asleep, so.
Did you really?
No, but.
My story was so bad you fell asleep to it?
Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean... So we got through that, and we talked about...
Oh, we got through that story, all right. Yeah. Oh, man.
all for the worse. Oh, man, my throat is getting hoarse. It's been a lot of streaming and not a lot of sleep, trying to stay there with the solidarity with Corey.
Yeah.
Your throat is getting hoarse? Is it because you registered Surge Mayor at the Pro Tour? Mythic Championship, I mean? Oh.
Did you eat them afterwards?
No, so the mythic, we got through Corey's grind. We got through us alienating ourselves with the Twitter community. That was yep. great. We did that again. So we did that, like, what, the last time, you know, we had you as a special guest, Brian, yep. and we talked about that. And we're like, this is our downfall, and no one brought it up. So we're like, we got to bring it up again.
Yeah, I think the only thing we forgot in this podcast was to talk about Magic the Gathering. But
I guess you can say I'm a one-trick pony.
Is that a horse pun?
It is. Yeah, there's only horse-related jokes from here on out.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I mean, it is the tail end of the podcast, so...
Yeah, you guys, I really got to get going. I got to hoof it out of here.
All right, well, with that, that is the end of
now
the Bash Bros.
Cricket.
Come on, that was a hoof joke. Hoof, get it? Never mind.
I don't get it now. What
can
is
you all
that?
Stop horsing around? All right, well, I think that is a good time for us to conclude things. Corey, it is time for you to sleep for like 24 hours.
Yeah, I need it. I absolutely need it. I've slept more on a normal night than I have the last three nights. So yeah, dedication.
Yeah. And, Brian, again, thank you for being the special guest. Sorry that we weren't able to bring you on the show last week, but I'm glad that you were able to make it this week.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy about that as well. Thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, making room in your schedule to include me again after things fell through last week, that means a lot to me. Personally.
Oh, of course. Us MPLers have to stick together.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, thanks for being here, BBD. We really appreciate it once BDM declined, so.
Yeah.
To be fair, finishing second fiddle to BDM in the rankings of best three-letter Brian acronyms in Magic is fine with me.
No, you didn't let me finish the rest of the list. That didn't... accept the job as well.
Apparently, I'm also third behind BMK, Brian Kibler. So, oh, yeah. Wow, I'm really this list is getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it's going down. But yeah, so Brian, thanks for being on the show again. But where can people find you if they're looking for some more, not BMK, not BDM, BBD content? That's right.
If they're looking for BBD content, they can find me on Twitter at BrownDoingIt. They can find me on Twitch. twitch.tv/mtgbbd, or they can find me at my local Red Robin crying into my drink.
All right, bro, you got to get to sleep, but where can people find you?
Yeah, people can be finding me in my nice queen size bed for the next 24 hours, and also on Twitter at Corey Baumeister.
Perfect. All right, and you can find the podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. We've got a Twitter account at Bash Bros Podcast. Please tell a friend, leave a comment, follow us on Twitter. On Twitter is a great place, honestly, to give us some feedback on the podcast. We've been doing it now for close to 2 months, and we're excited for any feedback to know what you like, what you dislike. We know what you like. You like me. You like Corey. You dislike Brian. We know. We all know what's going on here.
And we all know how much we love Twitter feedback, as you've heard earlier in this episode.
I mean, I don't know how this is going to sound, you know, once people are listening to it. But Corey, I only slept 3 hours last night. Corey's only slept 7 hours in the last 3 days. We are both very delirious. And I bet Brian is refreshed and like, what podcast did I sign up for? Like, what? I've been a guest on many podcasts, and this is by far the worst.
Yeah, I got a gentleman's 45 minutes in last night. Not too bad.
I would say this is the worst podcast, but I was on a podcast 2 weeks ago that was somehow even worse yet.
Really? Could you tell us about it? Tell us more.
It was like, it was called like the Bashful Bros or something, but Bashful Brothers. I don't know. It was really
sounds
bad.
Heinous.
Oh, it was heinous and or anus.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. But anyway, Corey and I will be back next week with another special guest. Please follow us again on Twitter or Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. Out every Friday. Thank you for coming along for the ride today and enjoying any of our content that you're going to consume in the future. We love doing it. We love making it. And that's all I've got for today. So see you next time.